It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Amy Franz with the National Sorghum Producers. But let's talk wheat pasture first. Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State.
In the 1st of September or thereabouts, we had really high hopes for wheat pasture this year. And then it turned hot and dry, and those hopes have faded somewhat since then. It looks like, as we're filming this, that we're probably due for some rain here in the next few days, and that would be great if we get that. It would be very timely, kind of get us back on track. So I think when it's all said and done, we'll probably wind up with quite a bit of wheat pasture, perhaps more wheat pasture than we effectively have cattle to stock it. But it's been kind of a struggle for the last 6 weeks or so. Stick to your plan. Do what you normally do. If it's fall of the year, hopefully you're weaning calves right now, getting them ready to market, adding value to them by doing those things that we talk about. You know, the markets are still hanging in there. In fact, they're very strong, counter-seasonally strong right now.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Amy Franz. Amy is the chair of the National Sorghum Producers and a producer from southwestern Kansas. Amy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
Okay, for those who don't know, tell us a little about the Franz operation. Scott City, right?
Yes, that's right. We're western Kansas, so about 80, 90 miles from the Colorado border and right in the middle, north and south. My husband and I raise sorghum, corn, and wheat, and then we also have a cow-calf operation. So we are paused with harvest right now. We have started both with sorghum and corn, but have been blessed with moisture. This year has been an interesting year with an abundance of moisture. And because of that, we've actually seen some fantastic yields and being able to drill into some nice moisture for our wheat.
So let's kind of back this up now and talk about 2025 and the crop year. Did we have more acres planted to sorghum in 2025 as opposed to, let's say, 2024? And what have you heard so far when it comes to yields?
We have seen a, you know, pretty consistent on our milo. We have seen that as the things are tight on the farm, sorghum uses less input, and so it's more affordable. So we saw a little bit of uptick in that sense, and putting that into a rotation, especially where I live, Tony, on top of the Ogallala Aquifer, you know, we're really conserving water and being diligent on that. So sorghum fits there as well. Speaking to the crop that we're harvesting right now, overall, not just on my farm, but overall in our representation as National Sorghum, we've expected and seen about a 23% increase in yield. And really thrilled for our production to see that. We always say sorghum can grow in very harsh conditions, but we still need moisture. And we got it this year, and we're seeing how well we can do. However, Tony, with that blessing, we've seen lots of piles growing of sorghum and also having storage issues, you know, really no place to go with that. So we continue to have those conversations. And I know that you and I will have some conversations about things that we've talked about this week that gives sorghum producers a little bit of hope coming on the horizon.
Yeah, I've seen some of those piles. I haven't seen it this year, but in the past, I've seen some piles around an ethanol plant where they really chose to go out into their community and grab as much sorghum or milo as they could find. Does sorghum work good for ethanol production? Can it replace corn?
It absolutely can. And you know, I appreciate you bringing that up because that's something, a piece that we've really had to educate those around us. People that are living in the heart of sorghum, you know, we've got some great ethanol plants out here in western Kansas, but a lot of people don't realize that sorghum can be used in ethanol. So we've been kind of ticking up our involvement and education in that way. You know, it really is supply and demand, what those prices look like on the board. And so I know we had an ethanol plant just south of us using 90% sorghum in their ratio. So there's no question that sorghum can be used and does it well. So we're excited to continue to have those conversations and move sorghum into those ethanol plants as we're truly having a little bit of a situation where do we go with all of this excess?
Amy France is a producer from Scott City, Kansas. She's chair of the National Sorghum Producers and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Amy France. Amy is the chair of the National Sorghum Producers. And I just find it ironic that this is the second trade war in I guess, our lifetime here. But the first trade war actually started with sorghum as well and China. Has that created a more than just a road bump in the road?
A significant issue. So, you know, just in case your listeners don't know, sorghum for China, they use it in baijiu, which is an alcohol along with their feed as well. But that alcohol baijiu is a top reason they want our sorghum specific. Nobody grows it better. They want the U.S. grown sorghum. And then to put things in perspective with how much. So what we export, usually about 80% of what we export goes to China. So when you pull that out, which they actually fell out of the market in November, even a little bit prior to this, we have seen significant hits in our markets. And so, yes, China, I would say that after you take our most important crucial buyer out, sorghum has been hit harder than any other commodity. So there is serious and significant issues when you pull China out of that market. And you're right. Here we are again, sorghum and China having those conversations. And we continue to remind our lawmakers and the agencies and the White House just how important China is to our sorghum growers.
One of the other issues here is sorghum is not traded on the board in Chicago. And so it sometimes doesn't ring a bell, if you will. We can see corn drop 10 cents. We can see beans drop 20 cents. We can see wheat drop, but we don't necessarily see the movement in sorghum prices. Has that been a challenge, especially with like the government shutdown?
I think so. Yes. The prices are not truly reflected because it has been shut down. So those prices are not accurate at the time. And you're right. We flow along with corn. And so as we have all of these topics and these commodities come up and we have people talking about soybeans and corn and wheat and those kind of issues, we say, hey, don't forget about sorghum. And I really think in the headlines that you've seen, we saw Ambassador Greer bring up sorghum specific. We hear Secretary Rollins bringing sorghum specific. We can tell that our work and our advocacy has been heard and is being relayed to the people that need to hear it. We were just in DC a few weeks ago, pounding the pavement, regardless of a shutdown, because we remind them, you know, farmers don't stop. We have a crop to harvest and we're going to do it. And so we encourage them to continue having those conversations. And I see headlines this week and last week are indicating that maybe our efforts have been heard and we're seeing a little bit of progress.
You mentioned Ambassador Jamison Greer and U.S. Trade Representative out negotiating. He and Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, really working on some trade guidelines, frameworks with a couple of countries and actual signed agreements with a couple of others. I just wonder, when we step back and look at what's happening in Southeast Asia, could that provide a lifeline? Could that provide more fuel, no pun intended, for this sorghum boat, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. We are very hopeful. As you indicated, Malaysia is one of those agreements that indicated sorghum specifically. And that's what we're pushing for, is we want to see, you know, all commodities, because as I said in the intro, we don't just grow sorghum, but we have to make sure sorghum is at the table and in those conversations and in those agreements specifically, so we're not overlooked. So we do remain very optimistic, cautiously optimistic. But the talks in Southeast Asia and other countries, we need long-term stability for our sorghum producers. And that is, yes, let's get China back on the market. Let's get Malaysia. Let's get India, Vietnam, Mexico. So we don't have to continue to rely on one country. So very excited to see these conversations and being able to add diversified markets to the sorghum's portfolio.
Amy France is a producer from Scott City, Kansas. She's chair of the National Sorghum Producers and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Amy France. Amy is the chair of the National Sorghum Producers. And I guess the last one here is kind of looking at the crop that's grown here in the U.S. There is a country in South America now that's decided they want to go all out when it comes to growing sorghum, talking about Brazil. Is there a competitive advantage that U.S. producers and the U.S. industry has to maintain some of these markets, even though there might be another low-cost producer out there?
I believe so. I will continue to stand by the fact that nobody grows sorghum better than our U.S. farmers. We have spent time and effort and money to make sure we are doing the very best, conserving what we can, and by using the least amount of inputs to produce the most outstanding crop. And we have shown that time and time again, regardless of the crop, truly. But sorghum has continued to show that we grow the best sorghum across the world. And we have better infrastructure. We can say specifically, even now, which is crazy to think that this load that we're taking over to this country comes specifically from this farm and what the practices are there. So again, there's nobody that does it better than a U.S. farmer. But I think we can't take that lightly. We can't hang our hat completely on that. We have to be diligent and being aware that that market is absolutely there, but continue to promote what we do best in the markets and the grain that we produce. So I think navigating that, we're trying to be careful and cautious. But I still proudly say and believe that nobody does it better. And so, you know, we're always up for a good challenge, and we'll keep an eye on that, because there's no question we've seen that happen with other commodities. So wanting to be diligent and aware of that is important too.
Amy, it's always good to see you, and the time that you invest in the industry to help. It's not just helping you, it's helping the entire industry. Thanks for doing that. We wish you the best. Safe harvest.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
Again, Amy France is a producer from Scott City, Kansas. She's chair of the National Sorghum Producers and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Calling all beef cattle producers, you're invited to attend the all-new Beef Cattle Presentation and Roundtable Discussions at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show on Wednesday, December 3rd. The new program will provide insight, inspiration, and industry perspective for beef producers. The event agenda will include a series of roundtable discussions led by a panel of respected industry leaders focusing on current topics in the beef industry. Attendees will gain practical takeaways and have the opportunity to visit with experts and fellow producers. The evening will conclude with a dinner and message from keynote speaker Dr. Kemple Grandin. The Choice Ribeye Steak Dinner will benefit District 1 Texas Panhandle 4-H Friends and Alumni Association. Find out more or get your tickets at AmarilloFarmShow.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Representative Eric Sorensen from Illinois.
And look, you know, as you alluded to, I didn't get to Congress by way of climbing a political ladder. I was the meteorologist that was on the air at 4:30 in the morning, and I worked 20 years in this district. So the people got to know who I was as a person. But now, the people here, you know, it's not that people are on, I don't think the left or the right. People are agnostic to politics in Western Illinois. You know, we just kind of want to shy away from that, but we want results, you know, and I think what's happening today, you know, and especially, you know, we should talk about this, you know, in the agriculture industry is we're seeing especially our farmers be thrown around like a political football. And you know what? Nobody should be suffering because somebody wants to play political games in Washington.